The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Mirakl. Because traditional e-commerce is just code for not growing, it's time to do better than the status quo. Join over 450 retailers who are scaling 6 times faster with AI automation and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate with Mirakl. It's May 26, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, rapid-fire headline update, and Shopify releases its summer editions. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains 5 items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, rapid fire headline update. So funny. There's a lot of news happening this week, and I felt like I wouldn't be serving you well to only serve up 4 stories. So I thought I would wrap at least 6 stories into one here and spend some more time deep diving on one more topic in a minute. In the world of AI, there are a few key updates. OpenAI just bought Jony Ive's design startup for $6.5 billion. I guess that means that OpenAI is getting into hardware. If you ask me, OpenAI smells blood in the water with Apple being essentially nowhere on AI. Could Jony help destroy the company he helped build? Or is this something different? In other news, Instacart CEO Fidji Simo will run applications at OpenAI as we've reported here in the past. Jony Ive will now be the company's creative head. These are not cheap hires. OpenAI has a plan to be one of the top 4 to 5 companies in the world in the league of Microsoft, Google, Apple, Amazon, and oh yeah, Nvidia. Let's see what they're planning to take advantage of here in their first mover status with consumers. Speaking of AI, Google just released its own Shop with AI mode for Gemini at Google I.O. Some of the features include price tracking and agentic checkout. Speaking of, isn't this the same thing PayPal said it would try to do not long ago? And who doesn't have agentic checkout now? Asking for a friend. Should Shop Pay and Stripe be worried? In retail, we have 2 updates happening from Nike. One is that Nike is planning on raising prices on some of its shoes due to tariffs as soon as this week. Both Nike and Walmart have signaled that tariffs are too much to bear without making consumers pay some of the cost. Home Depot has taken the opposite approach, and it's indicated that they will not raise prices. Experts seem to think that rather than raise prices across the board, instead, Home Depot will reduce its selection to avoid items that are now deeply unprofitable. The second piece of Nike news is that Nike is returning to Amazon. This is the first time that Nike is returning to Amazon since 2019, and ironically, John Donahoe, the former CEO of eBay, was the one to take Nike off Amazon. Sounds like a terrible idea to not be where consumers are, or at least control your brand. And ultimately, I think this is a win for both companies, Nike and Amazon, but mostly Amazon. In other retail news, Walmart just announced it was laying off 1,500 workers to simplify operations. It seems to me that middle management is a dying skill set. Our final bit of retail news comes from the company SharkNinja, which, by the way, SharkNinja has always been literally the best company name I've ever heard in my life. And they recently abruptly announced that they're shifting all manufacturing from China. Almost 90% will be moved in the next month or two to other places in Southeast Asia. That's seriously fast. And given the speed, I expect that the company would have gone bankrupt without this change with how fast this happened. In the software world, we do have a few updates. Commerce Tools recently partnered with Optimizely to support their personalization and optimization solutions. Is this a signal that Optimizely is de-emphasizing EpiServer? Or is it more that Commerce Tools needs a more sophisticated set of front-end services that are built for its merchants? Separately, Commerce Tools also released its own MCP server this week, ironically on the same day as Shopify's update. Lastly, there are a couple of e-commerce updates. In particular, TikTok Shop seems to have told many of its e-commerce staff to stay home this week in preparation for massive layoffs. What's going on at the talk? And our final story. Shopify released its Horizon Summer Editions updates. Shopify released a number of updates in what they termed their Horizons release, and they mentioned over 150. And I believe it as the list keeps going on and on and on, and you get the idea. Although all is not rosy, there's still a lot to like in various areas. And note, this update is not intended to be comprehensive. The major release here is the Horizon Design System. And you kind of have to start here because it gets the most emphasis from Shopify. After all, the name of the release is Horizon. So what is Horizon? In my mind, Horizon becomes essentially a commerce-first content management system, or CMS. Horizon includes a new foundation for Liquid based on theme blocks, and 10 new themes that were built to work with custom AI block generation, which then generate custom Liquid code. These new theme blocks now work with 30 components that you can customize, drag and drop anywhere, and preview before you send live. In terms of my analysis, it strikes me that a lot of these theme-building features will be used by design agencies and not brands directly, but that really doesn't matter so much. If the system integrator is not recommending a separate CMS, that's a win for Shopify's own ecosystem. Because ultimately, if Shopify relies on a separate CMS, it would need its own front-end component library outside of Shopify's App Store, which is kind of bad news bears for Shopify. The bar for system integrators does keep going up with Horizon. AI prompts to generate entire themes or pretty customizable blocks, even interactive imagery, sections. Brand expectations for design firm pricing keeps heading south. Recently, I have found that a lot of system integrators have been pivoting into design services as a hedge against falling Shopify developer pricing. In response to potentially falling design pricing now, I do expect that conversion rate improvement services, as well as lifecycle marketing, will get more attention as design itself gets more commoditized by AI. The bottom line for the Horizon update is, it strikes me that the Shopify front end is right there next to best checkout at the core of the Shopify message against other platforms. In other words, can you use Shopify's Liquid and Horizon system versus a headless CMS? If the answer is no, that's bad news for Shopify. And Shopify is trying to say, you ain't gonna need it. Another major update in the Horizon summer release is POS version 10, or their point of sale system. The company seems to be playing catch up here, but with the advantage of a unified design that other companies don't possess. Over the last year, Shopify seemed to want a direct fight with Salesforce, and they got it. If there's one thing that Shopify has done in the last 2 years, it's pushed the message that POS and the commerce platform need to be one. Unified, I mean. In my mind, it has prompted responses from both Salesforce and Commerce Tools. But mostly Salesforce. Even you see that Salesforce acquired a pretty major POS system, PredictSpring, and put the CEO of PredictSpring as now head of Salesforce Commerce, period. It's interesting to see what happened next there. In terms of the POS, it gets a redesigned user experience, including better branding and search. And they also added things like ship and carryout functionality in the same order, meaning essentially split shipments type support in POS. The bottom line here is that there's still a lot of gaps in Shopify's unified commerce messaging, and products like NewStore and PredictSpring, while expensive, are still in a very different class. Even Shopify's friendly partner, Manhattan Associates, which has been seen presenting with Shopify at Shop Talk, has their own enterprise POS, which is paired with their OMS system. The next major item in Shopify's Horizon update is Sidekick, and it seems like it may have been sidekicked into high gear. It's taken a little bit for Shopify to invest more into Sidekick and for it to truly see the light of day, but I think we'll mark 2025 as the year Sidekick truly arrived. Some notable updates here is that Sidekick wants to be your AI co-founder for your e-commerce business, and it's evolving from an assistant into a helpful business partner. Ask it anything, even strategy. It will give you options and show you how to do it. Sidekick is now fully integrated into the Shopify admin, and it can do things like image generation too. It can also show you how to do it and give you real-time help with screen sharing and calls with an AI representative who will walk you through things to help you out. Support is a key Sidekick use case, as well as business improvement like strategy and conversion. My analysis of this is like, there's that co-founder message again. Entrepreneurs show up over and over in Shopify's focus. Also, I feel that simple conversion rate optimization agencies do need to beware Sidekick. Sidekick is coming for your lunch money. The Sidekick demo also shows that they even proactively suggest you run a coupon to further lower your margins. How clever is that? It also seems pretty straightforward that Sidekick itself will become a data marketplace calling into other MCP servers provided by third parties. Another ecosystem is born. Will Shopify allow developers to monetize, and how? Also, my final thought here is that it's safe to say you've seen the last Shopify support representative ever hired. And I do expect Sidekick to be particularly important for Shopify's future vision. That said, it's hard to tell if Sidekick will differentiate them in the long term, since most platforms will have an equivalent. On the Shop app, it seems like there's a new story for what the Shop app is, and it's called a real-time discovery engine. That's a true story. There's some buyer enhancements that allow them to save collections of items, better recommendations, but at some point, I kind of fell asleep looking at some of the updates in Shop app. And ultimately, what is a real-time discovery engine anyway? Is that an LLM that only looks at a few Shopify stores? We already have, like, so many of those. And in the end, Shop app is still like a marketplace, except you are helping Shopify bootstrap it. Whereas a real marketplace already has the customers you want, they just cost something to acquire. By the way, sign me up for the latter. If I want an own channel, I really want to own it. This perpetual in-between state is kind of frustrating. And of course, I understand tinkering, Shopify's a 100-year company, yada, yada, yada. But let's get on with it. Enough with the yada. On the enterprise side in Shopify Horizons, I actually give the enterprise team the milk carton awards for this update in particular. And there is an enterprise dev team, right? Right? Retro. I'm actually not seeing any enterprise-specific updates in this release, and I asked our trusty, recently upgraded advanced reasoning Sidekick because I thought I surely missed it. Nope. I actually have, and I posted on LinkedIn, a screenshot of my Sidekick chat and asking, are there any enterprise-specific features in the latest Shopify Horizons update? And, of course, it's checking, it found four articles, and it says, I don't see specific information about enterprise features in the latest Shopify Horizons update in the available documentation. And then, goes on to say about Shopify Plus and these things like that. I consider that essentially a Sidekick Enterprise 404. And so if Sidekick can't find it, then I'm certainly not going to find it. And ultimately, I think even if you agree with the fact that Shopify is in progress of making major enterprise progress with markets, legal entities, other things like this, which is, you know, at least debatable, Shopify is still in the need of major enterprise storytelling. Ultimately, I think the company needs to send some help to CRO Bobby Morrison. I don't know if that's a message in the bottle. Hell, send Singh himself if you want. Shopify is always going to tell the entrepreneur story first, second, and third. I get it, which leaves enterprise, well, not in the top three. Another major item in Shopify's Horizons update is a next-generation dev platforms. A few notable updates here are the ability to create code and object definitions and deploy them to all the stores that you're associated with. Additionally, there's a new set of Polaris components which are now usable across admin interfaces, the client's UI, and the POS. There's also a new dev MCP server to create custom code for you and to work with your app. There's a new app dashboard for analytics about your app, and there's a streamlined and updated built-for-Shopify design requirement. Finally, there are improved app recommendations for large merchants. In terms of my thoughts here, is actually even the simplified built-for-Shopify design requirements have 24 subsections and 85 detailed requirements. These are the simplified requirements? From a bottom-line point of view, a sneaky important priority for Shopify is a best-in-class app ecosystem. Of course, the number of Shopify stores is a key reason that apps target Shopify first. But a close second is a best-in-class, from a commerce point of view, Shopify App Store, build environment, and tooling for developers that most platforms don't even contemplate on a level like this. The next thing that Shopify talked about in their update is their markets product. A year ago, Shopify promised one store to rule them all, and the way to localize for various sub-geographies and locales is going to be called markets. Well, here we are, and there we went. There are a lot of things we're kind of still waiting for. A few notable updates are that they promised the ability to operate multiple entities from a single store, and they deliver that in a number of ways. But there's also the feature doesn't seem really done. And maybe I'm being a little harsh because I understand that maybe it was never done, but some of the limitations are pretty severe to call it done. Here are a few of them, and this is really from Shopify's own help docs. I didn't make this stuff up. If a primary entity, which is like the entity that your store starts with, is using a third-party payment processor, you actually can't add Shopify payments to your secondary entity. Why? You also can offer subscription orders when you're selling from multiple entities with Shopify payments, but all your subscription payments, particularly for the recurring subscriptions, are processed through your primary entity, which is likely not in the entity of the buyer. So that's going to hit FX fees. So what are the other entities for if you have a major subscription business? It seems like a fair question. Finally, none of this seems to work if you're using managed markets. A few other updates include that permissions can't be assigned to manage different markets, even if each market is managed by different teams. Only one theme can exist in your entire store, regardless of if different markets are managed by different teams also. You can customize themes per market, but it still feels like a big limitation that, for instance, if you have 10 different entities, they all have to be on the Dawn theme. Several of these feel like quite large gaps. Ultimately, the bottom line is, it feels like they're knocking down use cases like a game of whack-a-mole. And they seem to be trying to drive a stake through the heart of managed markets, but it's taking some time. They're focused on the idea of entities and not as focused on when to use a merchant of record or a seller of record model to avoid creating an entity versus managing one yourself. Does Shopify need more expertise here? Europe is growing so fast for Shopify, so it's entirely possible I'm missing something. So I would love a listener to reach out to me if I'm off my rocker here. On the B2B side, my general feeling is that Shopify is not quite advancing fast enough, at least in this release. Some notable updates are that Shopify Markets is now available for B2B. They mentioned that min and max order limits for all customers is now possible, and they added gift card support and an automated NetSuite connector for B2B. But my analysis of this is like, it doesn't seem as good as they're letting on. Markets for B2B is still in a test drive. I'm sorry, a test drive? Order limits are also not nearly flexible enough to be usable. It feels like something that their acquisition of checkout blocks gave them almost for free, and now they're just talking about it. It strikes me that also that there are two types of ERP connectors in the world, referring to their NetSuite ERP connector, broken ones and customized ones. Out-of-the-box automated ERP connectors rarely deliver what they promise simply due to the fact that the ERP itself is so customized. Adding gift cards in B2B? What are we even doing here? And finally, just talking about B2B generally at Shopify, it kind of strikes me that Shopify is getting more at-bats in B2B because of its reputation and more than it potentially deserves right now based on the product itself. And it's a little bit of a fake it till you make it, although that might be slightly harsh. It's not so far off. And I find that it's actually their reputation and their go-to-market strategy is being subsidized a lot right now by system integrators that are filling in key gaps that a number of other platforms have out of the box. That's somewhat of a dangerous place for Shopify to be in large accounts, because if they're not fulfilling and delivering on what they're doing, or they're doing it at a higher cost to other platforms, then companies could get a bad taste in their mouth with Shopify. And on the B2B side, while this is a market that Shopify has started talking about more, the innovation has not fully revealed itself yet. It's an extremely competitive market. And while in direct consumer, you can say that Shopify has pulled ahead of the market and continues accelerating, I would say that the broader B2B platform ecosystem is right now innovating faster than Shopify is. In terms of a summary, Shopify left a couple of limitations beneath the sheets, but there's still a lot to like in what they delivered, particularly in terms of AI, POS, and design. But underneath the covers, somewhere trapped in between legal entities, catalog and permissioning like a PIM, geographies, payments, permissioning, market, is the foundation of a platform that's not quite designed from the beginning for what they're pushing it to do. And in the upper mid-market and enterprise, these limitations do show up. It strikes me that the only way to resolve these concerns will be quite a few more boring updates in the future, which Shopify, to their credit, has always been willing to do. And I think that's actually a benefit of having a developer-oriented founder as the CEO. You know, having a business-oriented founder, they want to see shiny feature after shiny feature. And Shopify has been willing to refactor sometimes even pretty major parts of the platform to adjust for any gaps they have. To their credit, Shopify is customizable. And I think a lot of times more than most people realize. So if the current box is good enough and you can customize it or upgrade it with apps, whether they're off the shelf or custom provided by a system integrator, some of the rough bits on your own could be shaved over. Is that good enough for you? Still, I can't help but have this nagging question. Does Shopify have too many ideal customer profiles? The answer to that, we won't find for some time. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Harry's rebrands to Mammoth Brands. Harry's was supposed to exit to Eggswell, owner of Schick and Wilkinson Sword Brands, for $1.3 billion, but it was blocked due to antitrust grounds. 6 years later, the razor brand Harry's has rebranded to become Mammoth Brands, a holding company of several personal care brands. This new entity, which has generated $835 million in revenue, will continue acquiring and scaling brands. Does this mean more personal care brands or consumer packaged goods brands, and how will this be funded? Second, Frank and Oak accelerates closure of U.S. operations. Frank and Oak, a Canadian apparel brand, closed their U.S. operations at the end of April due to the customs and tariffs changes. It's interesting to note that in the last week of April, news broke in Canada that the company was closing all its retail stores, selling its intellectual property, and filing for bankruptcy. April was uncertain, but Frank and Oak clearly had bigger issues than cross-border business challenges. Third, UPS to acquire Andlauer Healthcare Group for $1.6 billion. UPS has announced it will acquire Canadian headquarters Andlauer Healthcare Group at a purchase price of $1.6 billion. UPS gains additional end-to-end cold chain services for healthcare customers, including facilities in Canada and trucking subsidiaries in the U.S. UPS wants to be de facto logistics partner for the healthcare sector, but also take a share in the growing demand and higher margins in the healthcare sector versus normal deliveries. Fourth, H&M Group takes minority investment in Centra. Centra, a vertical-specific e-commerce platform, has announced that H&M Group has invested in a minority stake. The minority stake, which is less than 10%, values Centra at just over $500 million Swedish kronor, or over $50 million at current exchange rates. The new funding will be invested in growth and product development. In 2024, various H&M-owned brands transitioned to utilize Centra to leverage fashion-specific solutions. Is this confirmation bias or the road to a possible acquisition? And finally, Chantable acquires Europe's largest Google Shopping partner, Product Hero. European e-commerce data feed platform Chantable has announced that it has acquired Product Hero, a Google Shopping partner, for an undisclosed amount. The acquisition enables Chantable to strengthen its feed management and PPC optimization capabilities and enables Product Heroes to widen its services away from being Google Shopping centric. Chantable acquired Wake Up Data in 2024, which had similarities with Product Hero. Who would have thought that feed management and comparison shopping engines is still a thing in 2025? Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Podcast on the Fly. To hear episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.